Friends, if you are training for a big event, say you have a race coming up or you're throwing down at an Industrious competition or a CrossFit competition, this is the episode for you. What's up and welcome to the Movement is Medicine show. I got Dr. Tim in the house.
What's up? How's it going, Barry?
Oh, man, it's going great. Now, Tim, you as a longtime CrossFitter and yes, as a guy who has been competitive and also, you know, you're a competitive athlete as well.
Yep.
You're coming to the table with some insight into how people can prep for a big event or for a competition.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you said, I've had some experience with some of this stuff. I mean, not only it's like, you know, through like sports career, kind of like going back and everything like that. It's like high school, a little bit into college as well. But then also it's like, you know, I would say mainly after that, it's like, yeah, CrossFit's probably been the main one for me. Yeah, I mean, been doing it for close to 8 years now. And it's like I've done a number of competitions sprinkled in during that time. I have done a half marathon as well. I've never done a full marathon. So we'll just toss that out there too. But, you know, not exactly my forte. But, you know, it's like have some experience with that as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's great to get into this in terms of like, what are the main things people can do to optimize their performance leading into some sort of event like this, whatever it happens to be. There's multiple things that people can look at to really increase their performance and also make sure that their bodies are feeling ready to go.
Let's start with lifestyle. You know, there's some classic things when we talk about lifestyle that we assume. And just to clarify what we mean by lifestyle, we're talking here specifically about the food that you're eating that week of and leading up to day of. We'll talk about day of, but leading up that week of, what your food should look like, what your hydration should look like, and what your sleep should look like. So maybe let's talk about sleep and hydration first.
Yeah. No, that sounds great. Yeah. Sleep is, like there's more and more research coming out around sleep, right? There's more and more studies coming out on like how important sleep is. And I know there's a lot of people that struggle with sleep, right? So, I mean, if that's the case, I mean, yeah, there's different things we could get into there. But in terms of sleep in general, I mean, like general guideline, everybody says about 8 hours, right? I mean, for some people, it might be a little bit more. For some people, it might be a little bit less. But you're really looking for quality of sleep as well. That's the big thing, right? And there's things that you can do to optimize your sleep. I mean, there's certain like, you know, I don't necessarily recommend going down like the Ambien.
Like, definitely don't pop the Ambien. Yeah, it might be a little overkill.
Yeah, that's a little bit overkill. But there are like natural things you can do to optimize your sleep. One of the big things that you can do, and it's a little bit tougher here in the Northwest, but viewing or being out in a little bit of sunlight for even like 5 to 15 minutes in the morning, as well as later in the day, helps to like regulate your circadian rhythm. And that can actually really help with you being able to fall asleep and also wake up a little bit feeling more rested. Okay. So that's one of the more natural things that you can do to help with that. Again, it can be a little bit tough in this area to do that, but if you can even get outside a little bit to do that, that's a big thing as well. Okay. Now, the other part that kind of ties into that too is like, you know, it's different and it's like you're waking up. You can think that it like might not affect things too much, but you know, most things that people do when they first wake up is they might have a cup of coffee, right? Well, there's been research to show that even if you stay away from that cup of coffee, even for maybe like 1 to 2 hours after you wake up, it can actually help in terms of how the caffeine affects your body and make sure that you're not going to have as more likely of having like a crash later on or having the caffeine affect you a little bit later on as well. So those are two just like kind of basic things. Outside of that, there's some supplements I recommend people can check out for sleep. Magnesium is a good one that people can always look into for that. And we are going to touch into hydration, but staying hydrated through the day does help with sleep as well.
Yeah, I think one thing too, on top of those phenomenal tips that I find personally helpful is allowing yourself to naturally wake up when you're ready to wake up that week, if at all possible. Now, I know that sometimes that's not possible because of jobs or a variety of other things, you know, but it is one of the techniques that I do find really beneficial. If you can sleep until you're ready to wake up, if you can even do that a couple days before your race, your body can sometimes help dial into what you really need. And it might just be a little bit extra sleep, 10, 15 minutes, but you can feel incredible in terms of rejuvenation and your energy when you wake up on those natural cycles versus the artificial alarm cycles that so many of us are tied into.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things which I get, you know, with some people's schedules, what they have going on can be tough, but it's like, if you can, and I mean, that also kind of plays back into, okay, what time are you going to bed?
This is a good one. So this is a good week to go to bed a little earlier. maybe cut some of those devices out, maybe not watch a super exciting like zombie thriller or something right before you go to bed, so your adrenaline's all jacked and your heart's hammering and you're sweating.
Oh man, dude, I have that happen. If I watch something that's like, and I've noticed that, it's like watching some things is okay if it's like lighthearted, funny, like, you know.
It's like, Ted Lasso time, something that. Like laugh, kick back, being, you know, I've been into The Shrinking lately. I don't know if you've seen this yet.
Oh no.
Apple TV, highly recommend. Highest recommendation I could possibly give. So funny, so good. Yeah. Stuff like that. Lighthearted, easy, where you're not going to be all amped up.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, because I mean, and that's the other thing you touched on it as well, is like trying to cut out something like, you know, like your phone, laptop, tablet, and everything like that. I mean, most people say it's like, in terms of when they look into this, you know, I would ideally say about an hour before you go to bed, if you can do that, a little bit more if possible. But I mean, at least an hour or so, like that definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, and everyone knows this, but I'm just going to say it anyways. Cut the alcohol out, or way, way, way down. I know that it's tempting. It's like maybe your nerves are kicking in, or maybe it's just part of your normal routine. But, you know, alcohol is a sleep disruptor. Even though it can sometimes help you fall asleep, oftentimes it's going to disrupt your sleep later on in the evening. So I would recommend reducing alcohol and, you know, increasing water. This is a great time to get into maybe like some alternatives, like get yourself some good bubbly water, some fizzy waters. You know, make a cool shrub spritz. I've been really into these shrub spritzes, you know, so that's like an apple cider vinegar type mix with some cool, yummy, like ginger spices in there, stuff that is really flavorful, makes you, you know, feel better than just drinking water. But it's not going to disrupt your sleep, right? So look at some of those things that ties into your hydration and sleep.
100%. Yeah, no, I think that's perfect.
Let's talk about food a little bit. So generally speaking, what's your recommendation in terms of your food? So the simple one.
Yeah,
I mean, we could so get no, real
we,
technical.
We don't have to.
We don't have to get into meal timing and all that.
No. I mean, it's like, you know, because all that stuff is going to be personally dependent, right? Like meal timing, how many meals you eat a day, the exact breakdown of your macros in terms of protein, carbs, fat. All that's going to differ on the person.
Just keep doing what you're doing, basically, with all that stuff. I'd say no major changes. Like, don't try a whole new thing your week of your event.
100%. No, you don't. This is not the time to necessarily change things up, right? That would be way earlier on when you're kind of in training and everything like that. No, so whatever you're doing, great. Like, even if you're not tracking macros, like, I mean, you know, I generally just going to say, you know, try to eat clean.
Eat good real food. You want all the nutrients, and you probably want to make sure you're getting adequate carb intake if you're a carb-based athlete.
That's the big one. And especially if you're doing something like, obviously, like anything like high-intensity workout or long-endurance workout, like, you know, we kind of mentioned we're talking more about, like, you know, we have summer coming up. People might be doing, like, runs, ultramarathons, different things like that. Or we have CrossFit competitions coming up, like the Halo Games coming up as well. I know we have some listeners going to be doing that. So really, whatever you're doing dietary-wise, stick with it. But what you want to pay attention to, exactly like you said, is your carb intake, right? Especially if your training is hard, your carb intake needs to match the level of training that you're doing. Now, protein intake does factor into that too, okay? And as a general rule, I mean, I know, like I said, we're not going to get into it too much, but as a general rule, I mean, about, like, you know, they say around like 1 gram to, in the higher end, about 1.7 grams of protein per pound of body weight, if you're really looking to maintain or even gain a little bit as you're going through training, right? But the carb intake especially is something, because that's what your body is going to be using as fuel as you're going through your workouts, and especially as you're getting towards competition day, right? You need to make sure that you're replenishing those glycogen stores in your muscles so that they have something to utilize as you're going through that activity. So really, it's pretty basic that as you're going through this, clean carbs, increase them a little bit as you're going through this kind of last, like maybe like couple few weeks of training, especially as you're getting towards that last week of training. You want to make sure that you're eating an adequate amount of carbs so that you're feeling energized, so that you're feeling ready to go for your workouts, and that you're not feeling tired, sluggish, or anything like that. And you'll know if you're not eating enough.
Yeah, this is not the week. I mean, again, you know, if you're doing some kind of if you're thought of an extreme, your event is a physique competition, obviously this is not the kind of event we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of competition where you're throwing down, you're putting out, you want to be in a fueled zone like state. You want to be able to perform. And so this is definitely a week to make sure you're getting enough food. Tim's calling out, I love it, the protein, the high quality carbs. Now, the morning of, I would recommend not changing up your routine too much. Like, so again, if you know you have a breakfast that you sits really well with you, that's a good way to go. Again, we want to make sure we have some protein and some carbs. And if it's a long event, or a multi kind of, a, you know, multi-event, like for instance, at the Halo games, it's an all-day thing, right? And you're doing four or five different workouts in a day. Let's talk a little bit about maybe some of the foods we'd want to fuel with in that kind of scenario.
Yeah, during the competition.
Like during a competition. Like, so you get up, you have your breakfast, you know, it's going to be protein, carbs, probably want to keep the fat relatively lower. And then you're fueled, so you're set, you're hydrated, and then, but you're getting into your workout now, let's say as a CrossFit competition, and you know you have an all-day kind of thing in front of you. What are some of the foods maybe you want to look at?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a good thing to get into. So when we're getting into actually, like, you know, getting closer to the comp, let's even start just like a little bit before, right? Let's say like hour or two before you're about to get into the competition. If it's an hour or two before, you're still good to get a little bit more like complex carbohydrates in, like something like, you know, a sweet potato, rice, quinoa, whatever you like to do for that, right? Some sort of meal that way, if it's like a couple hours before. When you're getting closer to the event, especially in between events, let's say it is like a CrossFit competition, quick carbs are the way to go, 100%, okay? So what I mean by that is you need to have carbohydrates that are going to be digested quickly and replenish those glycogen stores quickly. Now, that's most of the time like simple sugars type stuff, okay? So we're talking fruit is a great way to do that if you want to go on the healthier side. A lot of people even sometimes will go the route even towards like candy, gummies, stuff like that.
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
My favorite.
They're so great. But really, that's what you want to go for at that time, because it's kind of a little bit counterintuitive, because it's like if you've been eating healthy this whole time, it's like, oh, well, why would I eat stuff like that already? Your body is going to use it so quickly, it's not going to matter.
You want to actually avoid the fiber and all of the other good beneficial stuff that comes with eating whole foods. Like, for instance, I've seen some, you know, hardcore, awesome CrossFit paleo athletes, you know, eating this huge pile of sweet potatoes in between events, you know, only to like run off to the side and puke it all up. I mean, it's just, for your body is not going to digest this huge, giant pile of sweet potatoes in your 45 minutes or 30 minutes or hour break between events. It's gonna, oh God, worst thing you could do. Don't do that.
Like, it's gonna wreck you.
It's gonna wreck you, man.
Yeah.
Put the sweet potato down, for God's sake. Pick up a Pop-Tart, grab some candy, Gatorade, whatever, and use a fuel that your body is going to digest very quickly and get into your system and replenish those glycogen stores.
100%. Yeah, Gatorade, great, right? Like, even like drinks that way, right? It's like higher sugary drinks that way. It's like a great way to go, especially after an event, to get you ready again.
What are your thoughts on maybe some liquid protein, like a protein shake or something?
Yeah, 100%. At that point, like, protein is one of those things where it's like, yeah, I mean, your body's going to digest it fairly similarly at that point. So it's like, if it even is like a whole protein source, at least a little bit of that, that's fine, right? I mean, or it's like, you know, even something like, you know, like I do say that like a little bit more towards the liquid might be a little bit better at that time, especially if you're talking like a short amount of time between an event, it's just going to digest quicker, right? But if you have a little bit more time, let's say like hour and a half, maybe 2 hours before an event, doesn't happen all the time at CrossFit, but let's say it does happen, then sure, you can, I would say it's like, yeah, having a little bit more of like a whole source type of protein is totally fine. But for the most part, like we've been saying, a little bit more quicker digesting type stuff during the competition, a little bit of fat is good, not a lot. That's also key as well, okay? Fat is good for energy as well, but if you're already using carbohydrates as your source of fuel, like main time you're going to be switching over and using fats is during like longer type stuff. So it's like most of the time CrossFit workouts aren't super long, but you do want to make sure you have a little bit just in case, you know, you're tapping into those stores as you're getting later on, let's say in a longer workout.
And if you're a keto-based athlete, then, you know, none of this really applies to you. You know what you're doing. We're not going to get into that. But, like, if you're a keto-based, you know, fat-based athlete, and, you know, you do your thing, you know
what
you're
doing. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, do what you want to,
exactly.
Yeah.
So runners, you know, this is, runners a little bit different. You're running, you know, you're not going to be, like, pulling out your Snickers bar usually or a Pop-Tart out of your little fanny pack. Generally, runners are going to go with stuff they know that works, and there's all kinds of great products out there, and these are your gels, your goos, your beans, your cubes,
all the good stuff.
There's so many. I would recommend trying them out ahead of time, so you, because some people have different, you know, they can leave different flavors and tastes in your mouth. Some people report getting really thirsty after certain brands, so I would know what your go-to thing is.
Yeah,
I wouldn't experiment on the day of your a race or event.
No, Hunter, and it's like at that point you probably already have been doing some longer runs. You've been doing some longer runs. Like if you're doing a marathon, guaranteed you've been getting up into like the teens in terms of mileage. Even if you're doing a half, you've been getting close to like 8-9 miles for certain runs, right, or a little bit more than that.
So yeah, you've had time to be able to check that out because you want to make sure that you're testing those things to see what works for you. But it's the same principle, right? Like you want something that's going to be easy on the stomach, especially more for running because you're going constantly through it. Like you're not stopping. So you want something that's like, again, easily digestible, something that sits well in your stomach and something like, again, isn't going to make you super thirsty or anything like that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Know your body, know yourself, do what you know works. All right. Let's talk a little bit about recovery during that week, because generally speaking, we want to make sure that we're addressing all of the wear and tear that's been building up in terms of your race prep or your competition prep, your training prep. You're coming in at that week before. Let's quickly hit on maybe some of the basics on recovery.
Yeah, basics on recovery. I mean, it's, you know, we hammer this stuff home when you're in the clinic here on our videos and everything like that. We're big fans of the lacrosse ball. We're big fans of the foam roller. Fans of stretching as well. Depends on the time that you're doing it and everything like that. But I mean, those are the big three in terms of recovery. Like, the first big three that I'd say we can get into here, right? Where it's like lacrosse ball stuff is great if you need to get a deeper release into a muscle, especially if you have areas that have been nagging you as you've been going through training. Foam roller is going to be a little bit less longer lasting as compared to a lacrosse ball. Still great to get into for sure, but it's not going to necessarily have as longer lasting effects as getting that deeper muscle release. So that can be a great one is to do. It's like before you're going to work out, slightly after you work out, run or anything like that. That's a great time to do that. And then stretching. Again, I've said this before, stretching is one of those things, if you're going to be doing longer static holds, do it after you do your lifting, working out, running, or anything like that. After you do something dynamic, that's a fine time to kind of cool down with some of that stuff.
We have tons of resources on all of our social channels, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, there's a ton of stuff there for you. So wherever you're feeling some tightness or where you're feeling an issue, just go in there onto our channel, search, it'll pop up. It's awesome stuff. What about Epsom salt bath? I'm a big fan of them. I think they're great for recovery. I mean, a lot of people don't take the time to do them because they don't, you know, they just aren't thinking about baths. I don't know, or it seems like a long period of time or a waste of time, but I love a good Epsom salt bath.
I think they're great. Yeah, 100%. I think actually all of us here are big fans of that.
And I think the key with that is using enough Epsom salt. Like, it's not just like a little scoop, like load that thing up.
Yeah.
Lots of Epsom salt.
You want to get a lot in there because, yeah, your skin is going to take that in, right? Skin's the biggest organ in and around the body, right? So it's like you are going to get that transdermal, like, you know, magnesium getting into your body, which is great. So it's like, yeah, I mean, Epsom salt baths are awesome, especially as you're leading up towards like any sort of thing like we've been talking about. Yeah.
What about you're coming into that week, yet maybe you have a hot spot or... God forbid, like, you know, you finish off your last long run. It's like you before you start your taper week, which we're going to talk about here in a second, and, oh, your hamstring, your back, or you have either a pull, a pain, you have something that's nagging you. You've tried a lacrosse ball, you hit the foam roller, you did some stretching, and it's still there. What should you do about it?
Oh, you're coming to see us. That's what you're doing.
That's exactly right. Do not neglect the self-care the week of. But what's your key thought on that? I mean, because if it's like your event's on a Saturday and they come on a Friday, okay, if that's all you have. But ideally, when would you be coming in?
Ideally, you would be coming in. If not, like, if you had the availability to come in twice that week, it would be like, you know, like on a Monday and then on either on a low, ideally like a Monday, Wednesday would be great for that because then you have Thursday, Friday to recover from treatment going into that. Like you said, if Friday is the, like, say the day before is the only day you have, fine. We can do great stuff with that. Like, that's fine.
We'll make it work.
We'll make it work, right? But it's like, if you really want to get in and release some of these muscles, a lot of people will experience just a mild amount of soreness. Maybe their body's working through whatever we work through. So if you can have at least like a couple days after you get treatment before you go into that, that's ideal. Even if it's one day in between two, that's fine. But it's like, you just don't want to push it too close to it. But if you have to, that's okay. Yeah,
that is, the key there, I would say, is if you have an issue, get the issue solved before your event. Like, it don't hope it's just going to go away, because chances are it won't go away, and chances are it can really get in your way when you're in your competition, when you're in your event.
Oh, my God, yeah. No, it's like, I've had people do this stuff before, right? It's like, I've had a very competitive weightlifter come in, and, you know, it's like he hurt his knee, like, you know, like, 2 weeks before me, and then he came in like twice a week for 2 weeks to make sure he got it, and it's like, it was great, we got him back to a good point for that, right? Or it's like, I've had CrossFitters do that, runners do that, you know, so it really makes a difference. So it's like, if you're noticing it, just hammer this home, if you're noticing anything, it feels a little bit more abnormal than just a random tightness or anything like that, come in and get it checked out for sure. Okay.
I mean, this just happened to my sister-in-law. She has a race coming up, very soon, and it was like a week and a half before, and her back got, an upper back got totally whacked out. And I was like, you need to go into head to toe, go see Tim. He's going to get you in 2-3 times before your race, and he's going to get it sorted. Because, you know, if you can't lift your arms above your head and you're having like mid back spasms and you're just hoping it's going to go away and you do some of this other stuff, but you still basically can't like rotate, your run's screwed. I mean, it's going to be, so you don't want to waste all your time and just get yourself taken care of.
100%. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about taper, right? So, you know, generally speaking, when you're having an event coming up, you've been on some kind of a training plan or in some kind of a training regime mentality, it's the week of, and generally speaking, what are we doing from a taper standpoint in terms of our activity levels?
Yeah, so from a taper standpoint, typically speaking, the taper can start, I mean, it depends on the activity that you're doing. I mean, I think a lot of times for like running, you're probably going to start tapering, you know, for the most part, like a week or two in advance leading up to it. I think similar with like a CrossFit competition, I would say more so like a week out, maybe a little bit more than that. You probably start like week of before the competition, right? You're probably tapering a little bit. You're not. And what that means is you're probably not hitting as much volume, and you're typically not hitting as much heavy weights as you're going towards it, right? So it's like you're not trying to tax your body. You're not trying to deplete everything that you have as you're leading towards that. You've done all that already. You don't need to do that the week leading up to it. So it's like, again, it's really just less volume, less weights. Now, if there is going to be, like, say, a CrossFit competition, some heavy lifting during that, hitting some higher percentages is still okay during that.
You're greasing the groove.
Yeah.
You're staying in the zone.
Yeah, you still got to like test things out a little bit. You got to make sure that you're hitting weights so you feel comfortable when you get towards it in the competition. But you just don't want it to be something where you're hitting like a super high amount of volume of that same lift, working up to like a 1 rep max or something like that.
I've seen athletes, you know, kind of CrossFit style athletes, you know, the week of coming up to a big competition, they're trying to PR key workouts and stuff, and thinking that. You know, if they do it ahead of the competition, they're going to be able to like crush it, you know, in the competition. I'm like, what are you doing? You're like, you're trying to put out max output the week before your competition. Like, yeah. This shouldn't be PR week. This shouldn't be testing to see if you can beat your all-time best time on a particular workout.
No, this is not necessarily the time to do that. But that does bring up a good point in terms of intensity, right? I mean, like, yeah, we're talking like a little bit less volume, a little bit less like going for 1 rep maxes and heavy weight. But also intensity does matter, right? Where it's like, yeah, it should be a little bit less intense workouts. I mean, it should be like not as heavy of weights. But also in terms of your effort, I mean, you don't want to be going just balls to the wall during every workout leading up to this, like, or some sort of event like that. Dial things back a little bit, but still hit things with intention, right? Like, you want to make sure that you're moving through things well. You just want to make sure that you're not going to the point of full exhaustion.
I love it. What about mobility active recovery that week in terms of, you know, looking at getting more things like warm-ups, cool-downs? I mean, is that the week to get some of that stuff in?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, but if anything, that's the week to for sure get a little bit more of that in, even like a couple weeks leading up to it. Yeah, you want to make sure that you definitely have your mobility routine pretty set at that point. If it's at, you know, a lot of people, it's like in the evening, at night that they do stuff like that, that's great. Like, you know, a combination of like lacrosse ball stretching and that type of stuff I think is great. But especially a little bit more emphasis on the week leading up to it, you know, a little bit more time spent on that. And it also gives you the opportunity to make sure that things are feeling the way that they should feel, right? It's like you don't get a lacrosse ball into a spot and be like, what the hell is that, right? Or you don't hit a stretch and be like, ooh, that doesn't feel good, right? So it's like you've got this time to kind of build that in, especially the week before you have it dialed in, just a little bit more time on it to make sure your body's feeling ready to go.
Yeah, this is a key thing to not neglect. I mean, even 5, 7, 10 minutes of work a few days of that week can make a huge difference. Ideally, it'd be every day, but this is the week to get it in. There, I'm telling you, if you've been training hard, you've been getting ready for a competition, you have areas that need work that you're not even aware of. You might not be feeling them, but they are there and they're ready to sabotage you if you don't address them. So this is the week to get that kind of stuff in. Let's also talk about a resource we have for people. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we put together is we have a functional fitness. It's kind of a workshop routine that people can go through. That would be a great thing for people. They could use it for a run. They use it for CrossFit competition, totally free.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great resource for people if they want to use it. Yeah, we go through like all those things in that page on that. And it can give people an idea of like if they don't really know where to get started with some of the stuff, gives you a great idea of where to get started in terms of how to work on your body, how to check things out, and the top things that you kind of start to work into that way. And exactly like you said earlier, we do have multiple other resources on like YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, and everything like that in terms of other videos
lacrosse ball releases, stretches, all that kind of stuff. So we have a lot of different resources that people can utilize in order to know what to hit into, but that functional page is a great way to start with that.
Yeah, so if you want to access that, it's completely free. It's a Dr. Timms' functional fitness workshop. It's a 5-6-7 minute thing. It's exactly what I just talked about, kind of guides you through 5-6 different movements. Very, very, very easy to follow along with. So if you're saying, great, I want to do some warm-up cool down, I'm not really sure what to do, that one is a kind of great for guiding you through. And then to Tim's point, like, yeah, if you want to go pick and choose and just go potpourri style and just on a little bit of this, a little bit of that, throw it all in the mix, then yeah, just jump in our YouTube or on any of their social channels. We have a ton of stuff for you. But Tim, thanks, man, for sharing some of this insight. I think, you know, a person, if you apply even 50% of what we talked about here, you're going to have a better competition than you've ever had before. You'd be set up to succeed and win.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, if you could just take a little bit from it, I think it's great. I think a lot of people do a good job of, you know, if people are competitive, do a good job of doing some of these things. But yeah, hopefully some of this helps some people out and they get some ideas from it.
Awesome. Tim, thanks for being here. Everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next show.